We'll pick it up with Colossians chapter 2 for the jumping off place, just to get the context of our study, and just to remind you where we're at here. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 8. The Apostle Paul says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, in vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." So before we get into these things, we're going to pray one more time. Dad, could I ask you to pray for us one more time? Ask the Lord to bless the message.
Lord, we come to you in prayer. Thanking you for being in your house, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the Lord to come out today and hear about your word.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you for Chase studying this word and bringing it up to us, Lord. We thank you for this Bible, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, it be with our hearts and our minds as we try to learn a little bit more about you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning a little bit on the subject of philosophy of health, or the philosophies on health. I do realize it's a sensitive subject in today's time, but it's came up and it's very important that we know the right thing on the philosophy of health and what the Bible says about it and how to think about our health. I'll be doing a lot of reading, and what I read, I either will give you a quote or I directly type this out, my thought, if I thought this out, so it would come across correctly. Because a lot of times I've learned when I'm dealing with a study like this, things are coming through my mind. It's like the devil tries to get me confused and I can't think. So a lot of times I'll read it so I get it to come across the correct way. Philosophy and science will be the rule of the day. According to Colossians, and he's dealing with a Laodicean mindset, and that's when the church gets to the place where it's the rights of the people, and they get to the place where, hey, they have need of nothing, and they think, hey, long as I've got me, myself, and I don't really need the Lord. They wouldn't say that out loud, but they get to the place where they got everything but Jesus.
Amen.
It's like the time that sign was out, and it said it was one of these Jesus only churches, and a storm came through, but the sign said Jesus only, and the storm came through and knocked out the JES, and it said us only. And look, that's the last thing we don't want it to be us only. So what we have to do is we got to go against the course of this present evil world, according to Ephesians 2:2, is ran by the spirit of disobedience, is ran by the spirit of the devil. So what we do is we find out what the course of the world is, you know, what the philosophy of the day is, and then we go directly against it. So that's what I'm trying to do. Now, I want to give you his first point is some Bible prophecy. In Matthew, you don't have to turn if you don't want to, because I'm going to go into Mark here in a little bit. But in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 23, the Bible says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom." That's the gospel of the kingdom. That's good news. The kingdom's coming. That's not what Paul's preaching, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, what's connected to this? Why? The Savior is literally saying, hey, look, there's good news, the kingdom's here. I'm the king. If you'll receive me, you can get that long-awaited, prophesied kingdom. And guess what's connected with it? And healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. That's what's connected with that gospel of the kingdom. So what you have is you got people oftentimes, and they'll get here and say, well, if you're sick, you ain't right with God. It's like the one guy I talked to up there on the square that one day, and he's not rightly dividing the Bible. And he said, I tell you what God's doing right now. He's dividing the sheep from the goats.
Amen.
I thought, man, you are so far off base, you can't even see the pitcher's mound. Why? Because he's not reading the Bible. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to show you what the Bible says about health. When the Lord came, He's the Lord. He's able to heal. He's showing them He's that long-awaited Messiah. Now, what I'm showing you is some Bible prophecy according to this right here. 2 Thessalonians 2, guess what's going to be happening? In the Great Tribulation, we don't go through the Great Tribulation. We're going to get raptured. People say, I don't know about that rapture. Well, you may not know about it. You're going, if you're saved, you're going in rapture whether you believe or not. You're going to be snatched out of here. And we're going to be racing up through there. Me and Brother Cole going to be going up there just wide open as a case knife. And somebody, I didn't know how I even got here. Well, just enjoy the ride. You know what it says? In that next time period coming after the church age, even him in 2 Thessalonians 2:9, whose coming is after the working of Satan. Now watch this. With all power and signs and lying wonders. He's going to be able to heal. Just like Judas Iscariot was one of the 12. He's going around, had the devil. The Bible said in John chapter 6, verse 7, he was a devil. Going around, he was working for the devil, and guess what? He could heal. Mm-hmm. The devil's going to be able to heal. Some Bible prophecy, you know what's going to come into place in prophecy? People needing some healing. Well, it's going to be a lot of sickness. The Bible said in Revelation 13, verse number 15, I'm just jumping around. Verse number 15, the Bible said, speaking of the devil and the Antichrist, it said, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. He's going to give life unto the image of the beast. That's a lot of power. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is this right here. You want to know what's going to be in vogue? You know what's going to come into be as far as philosophy and science is concerned? You're going to see more scientific advancements in health than you've ever seen. That's what's coming. You say, well, is that going to take the believer by surprise? Absolutely not. We know it. Well, I've got the Bible. I can read. Fifth grade English.
That's right.
Now, you know what? I'm going to read some of these things to you. So we see the coming mentality of a need for health, health, health. Well, I tell you something, you better be careful about that. Why is that? You know what the main thing you can have is a sound mind. I know a lot of people who are sick as they can be and godly. And people can say, well, they just must not be right with God. They see, I tell you, they more godly and got a sound mind. The Bible says it's a blessing to have a power and love and of a sound mind. That's what you want. I hope you'll know, if you don't get nothing else out of this message, to know the best thing to have is something up here.
That's right.
Your body fails you here, there, and yonder. It don't matter how healthy you try to be, you're going to have some sickness come. Now, philosophy leads to sin. And the more sin of these philosophies that are accepted instead of the truth of the Word, the more sin is going to enter the world. All right, so the more sin that enters the world, the more sickness. Why? Lust bringeth forth sin, and sin bringeth forth death. You know what most of sickness come from? Sin. Now, not all. I want to say most. See, I have to clarify these things so you'll know where I'm coming from. I'm not saying if you get sick, but I'm just telling you, in the world, sin is something that brings sickness. Okay? Now, the more sin that enters the world, the more sickness will cause more chaos, and chaos causes fear, and fear of man will lead to the man of sin. You know what's going to happen? This world is going to get to where they fear everything but God. Everything but God. There's no fear of God. Why? Because one of these days we're going to be out here and He's going to bring so many wars and famines and pestilences that they're going to be scared to death. And somebody's going to come up and they're going to be able to, guess what? You're going to have opposing viewpoints. This viewpoint over here is opposing this one. And He's going to come in and offer that the Hegelian dialect I've been telling you. I know it's a big word, but that's what these people, philosophers, use this. And He'll offer that third option. You know what He's going to say? I know you got all this stuff going on. I can answer your problem. Come over here, take the mark, and get in the healing line. Thank God I'm saved.
Amen.
You know what? What I'm trying to tell you is this right here. You know what we need to be doing? Telling people to get saved. If you're saved in here, you do not have to worry about that. I don't care what these false teachers talk. You don't, they say, well, this is mark of me, that's mark of me. I don't care what it is. I'm going to be gone when it's implemented.
Amen.
But now what I'm trying to tell you is try to get the right philosophy on sickness. Now, in the church age, sickness can happen and not have a connection to sin. I'm going to read you a couple of verses. 1 Timothy 5:23, he tells Timothy, drink no longer water, but use a little wine. Use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. He said, here's a man of God serving God. He said he had often infirmity serving God. Sometimes you're just going to be serving God and you're going to have infirmities. That's just part of it. You get over here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. He said, hey, look, I got work to do. I got to leave the guy there. We're going to put him in God's hand. Left him there sick. Here's a guy serving God, got sick. All right, here's another thing. 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said unto me, Paul, sick, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Man, you talking about something there. I just hadn't arrived yet. I want to, but I hadn't. Most gladly, therefore, here's Pauline doctrine. Will I rather glory in my infirmity? Look, I'm telling you. When I read stuff, I cannot read that without getting it just completely convicted and say, God, I'm far off base, man. I got a long way to go. But that's what Paul said. What I'm telling you is we're living in a world now that is telling you have to be healthy, you have to be healthy, you have to be healthy. Paul said, I glory in my infirmities. That's his sickness. When he got sick, he said, I know if nothing else, I'm having to depend on the Lord right now like I never have before. Thank you, Lord. Man, that's rough. I'm not telling you it's easy. He never said it was easy. He says, why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, would you rather have the power of the Lord than your health? We're living in a world now that would rather have anything other than the power of God. The Bible said they'll have a form of godliness denying the power of God. In the context of 2 Timothy chapter 3, when they're lovers of their own self. Well, if I ever get to that point here in a little while, you know what that thing is? They don't want to have anything to do with sickness or anything else, long as I've got my health. Sometimes it may be better just to be a little bit sick and you'd be close to the Lord. Physically, if you keep your mental. I'm not saying let's go out here and get, y'all know that. Look, if you're sick and you got a cold or something, don't come to church if you even got the common cold, man. But that's fine. But what I'm saying is if it gets to the place to where you're thinking of your healthy body, you're adopting a worldly philosophy that actually is going to lead one of these days people to getting in the healing line with the Antichrist. That's the spirit of Antichrist that's already working in this world to get everything ready so when he gets here, everything's already set up. I'm just trying to warn you of these philosophies. Paul said, look, people will beguile you through this. You say, is it serious? It's real serious. We're going to find out here in a little bit. I'm just trying to show you in the church age, you can be godly and be sick or you can be godly and be well. That's church, but that don't have nothing to do with what's coming. All right, he said in 12:10, 2 Corinthians 12:10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. Man, I tell you something. That is not what 90% of people think. I take pleasure. Look, watch this. Not only that, in reproaches, in necessity. Lord, I've got a need. Well, you know what he said? I take reproaches, our pleasure and necessity. Why? He knows that God is able to provide all his needs. He knows that God. You know what's so awesome? I know some of you right now, we could give testimony after testimony. You've gotten to a place where you was in a necessity. And God provided that need and you took glory in it. You said, man, Lord, I just didn't know you could... You know, there's a lot of times until you get in a bad situation, you don't know how good the Lord is. I tell you something. One time, I don't mind him. He don't listen to my sermon, don't think no way, but I'm going to tell about my brother for a minute. My brother, man, I'm telling you something, man, he can drive a big truck now. And look, Daddy's sitting over, he can. I went to Richmond, Virginia with him one time, and we pulled up the place that we were going to unload at was way down here. He pulled up this hill, way up this hill like this. And I'm looking off a cliff like this. I mean, just a few feet from me down. I'm over in the pasture side. I'm looking down like this. And we're just going up this hill. I said, man, where are we going? He said, well, I got to drive up like this to back down in that place down in there. I thought to myself, I said, self. I hope he knows what he's doing. Little old guardrail and stuff. And I said, man, this could be bad. But you know what? I didn't realize how good a driver he was until we got in a bad situation. You know what I was thinking about this? You don't realize how good a driver the Lord Jesus Christ is until you get in a bad situation. You know what you find out? He's a professional. You know what you find out? He knows what he's doing. You know what I found out in my life? You can take pleasure in things. Why? Because the one who you're going through it with knows what he's doing. He said, in persecutions, in distresses. Why? For Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. You'll find that out. Philippians 2:30. This man right here, he says, because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death. Nigh unto death. Not regarding his life. Why? To supplant your lack of service toward me. I'm glad somebody don't mind going even when they don't feel good. You know what some people, they say, I just can't go to work. I don't feel good. Well, I'm not saying going if you're sick, but I tell you what, there's a lot of times you don't feel like going. I'm glad somebody goes in. You know what we're needing in our generation? We're needing some people who will serve God even when they don't feel like it. You're not always going to feel like serving God. We need a generation of people who don't mind getting up and say, guess what? I'm going to get up this morning and try to be a good husband just because I want to be a good husband. I want to get up this morning and do something for the Lord just because I know it's right. All right, so this is something I want to give you here. When the Lord is dealing with Israel and their prophecy concerning Israel is not the same as prophecy concerning the church. Sickness is connected with sin. I want to read a verse to you out of Exodus chapter 15. The Lord's delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. And this is what he tells them. He says in Exodus 15 verse 26, and he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all. I'm glad I'm not under that program. I'm telling you, I can keep them in my right pocket. Keep all his statute. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. You know what he's saying when he got there at Israel and the Lord Jesus started healing? He's saying, Israel, you're sick because you're sin sick. He's saying you're sick because you're full of sin. He was telling them they were sick. That's how come whenever you read verses like Matthew 9, like I said, I'm going through here because I got a long way to go, short time to get there. In Matthew 9, he said, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on the bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Alright, thy sins. Why? His sickness was connected with sin. But you know what? That's not our program. They, in their program, it was so much so that whenever the Lord got here, in John chapter 9 verse 1, it said, and Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents that he was born blind. And Jesus said, well, I'm going to get glory out of this. Why? He's saying, look, I'm going to show him I can heal, showing them I'm the Messiah they've been waiting on. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Showing he's the God of the Old Testament. You know what that shows me? James chapter 5, that's going to be a doctrine that they're going to need for that tribulation. Hebrews through James, we can get practical application out of it. There's a lot of doctrine in Hebrews through James that's going to be male for them in that time. Now listen to this. Now I'm telling you this because look, you're going to have a lot of people tell you that if you're sick, you're not right with God and stuff. Different program. James 5 verse 15 says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now, you know that's not our program because, brother, I prayed for people and they were divinely healed while they went home and be with the Lord. That's right. But it says in this coming up program, it says, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, see, sickness, sins, they shall be forgiven him, just like that other man we just read about. Now, what I'm telling you is this. Sickness and disease is going to be around until the Lord comes back, and sin is not going to be reigning like it is now. And guess what? Even there, even in the millennium, when the Lord comes back for 1,000 years, there's going to be a degree of sin there. All right, until the age of ages. Now, I'm going somewhere with this, so stay with me. Isaiah 65:20, speaking of the 1,000-year millennial reign, says, there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. You know what? Even in the 1,000-year millennial reign, there's going to be a little bit of sin there, and he's going to have 100 years, it looks like, according to that passage. And if he's a sinner, he's going to have that 100 years, and he'll die. Now, what I'm telling you is, sickness is going to be here for a long time. A long time. It's going to be here so long, and we got to realize that sin brings death. It's going to be here so long that the Lord's going to put it down. When the Lord comes back, and sin is punished immediately in the millennium. You got to realize that when somebody sins in that 1,000-year reign, it's punished. But the last enemy is death. 1 Corinthians 15:26. That's done away. Guess what? At the very end of that millennium, Satan is going to come up, and he's going to have enough people that comes with him. He's going to come against the Lord one more time, and the Lord said, "That's it." And he's going to bring fire down and destroy Satan and all those followers all at once. And then you know what's going to happen? death will be destroyed. There'll be no more sin. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more death. Why? Because the Bible said when Satan goes into that lake of fire, that's it for death. That's it for sin. That's it for sorrow. But not until all the way out there. That's a long time from now. So what I'm trying to tell you is this right here. So until that happens, there's going to be sickness around, there's going to be sin around, and no matter what philosophy comes to try to cover up for it, hide you from it, or protect you from it, we have to learn to serve in it and with it. Yeah. We're going to have to learn how to serve God no matter what happens. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Now you say, well, how do we look at some of these things? Well, I'm going to tell you here in just a little while how in Mark chapter 5, if I can ever get there. But what I'm telling you is this, God can get us through all these things. It's nothing God can't do. When I'm telling you some of these quotes, it's hard not to get kind of, but y'all, we're fighting from victory. I want you to know that. The Bible teaches about these wicked philosophies. And guess what? Dead men like Charles Darwin are still influencing the mental health of people today. Now, I'm going to read from a historical book I've got right here. And I'm going to read a quote to you and try to show you how these things are coming up and how they're getting together. How these philosophies of other people are merging with leaders and Christian leaders and stuff like that. And you say, where do these mentalities come from? They come from dead men who had influence back then. And their mindset is people making people sick mentally. You know what I'd rather see? People have the power of a sound mind. Yeah. Isn't it good to be around somebody who's got a good sound mind? You ever got around somebody? I've had it happen here kind of recently. You get talking to somebody and before long you realize they're not quite all there and you go, uh-oh. I done got around somebody don't believe the Lord, don't believe nowhere near the way I do. I better get out of this situation fast. You ever done that? Yeah. Well, you know what's going on? They healthy here. But the main thing to be healthy in is keeping our mind sane. The only thing can do that is keep our mind straight with the Bible. I'd rather see you have mental health than anything. I want to see you have health. I really do. But I want to see you have mental health. So these philosophies corrupt the mindset of the world, gets over into the church, and we don't want to do that. Now, here's a quote. Let me get over here to this thing right here. This is Dr. Erwin Lutzer, and he's got a book on Hitler's cross, and he talks about the Darwin-Hitler connection. Now, this is what he says. Hitler also accepted Charles Darwin's theory of survival of the fittest and asserted that man had every right to be as cruel as nature. Detailed lectures were given in schools and the SS troops to prove the inferiority of the Jews. Aryan skulls were compared with those of Jewish ancestry to prove on a scientific basis. You see how philosophy mixed with science? You'll have a scientific advancement or a scientific thought, and they'll have to blend philosophy to get you to accept it. And that's what goes on today. You say, how do people get so far off from the Bible? A little science, a little philosophy comes in and gets that mind twisted. And they say, well, science backs it. And we got some good sayings. We got some good philosophical thoughts. And before long, people are off the Bible. That's it simple. It said this, on a scientific basis, that the latter were hopelessly inferior. Only the fittest had the right to survive. You say, well, how does that tie into today? Well, before I tell you this, Ephesians 5:11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You know what we're trying to do? I'm trying to show you works of darkness and reprove them so you'll know. All right, here's the philosophies of these dead men. They blend with atheists and compromised Christians and lost church members to persecute Bible believers for having hate speech, being divisive and discriminatory, and having an inferior position of belief. Guess what? An enemy of this state will be created and persecuted. That's what's going on. You say, well, we got the weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God. Mighty through God, the pulling down a stronghold, and we can handle anything that comes our way. But the Bible knows. Now, that mindset of survival of the fittest is why you got people wanting to get rid of autistic children. I've got articles where people, I'm going to tell you some of the most interesting people you'll meet are autistic children. They are very intelligent. Yes. But there are people who are trying to, through eugenics and things like that, and they try to splice these things. Now, look, I'm not a scientist, but I know this. They're trying to work things out to where those children won't be born. Like they say, that's a bad... Man, that's like those in Down syndrome, some of the sweetest, humblest, nicest people you'll meet. But you know what's happened? That mindset of survival of the fittest has gotten into people's mind and it's poisoned their mindset. They are sick mentally and they think we're sick mentally. So you guess what happened? Our ideas are pitted against their ideas. You got these two pitted against each other, and then a third option will be offered, and they'll say, hey, we got another option for you. Now, on January 18th, 2020, on the episode of the podcast, you and me both with Hillary Clinton, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi attacked pro-lifers saying that it gives me great grief as a Catholic that pro-life voters would put the right to life ahead of other issues. People in positions of power use taxpayers' money to fund abortions overseas. Now, where I'm tying all this, look, here's little children in the womb. Look, one of the most dangerous places to be nowadays is in the womb. You say, how can somebody get to the place where they want to quit kill a sweet little old innocent baby? Adopting that survival of the fittest philosophy, and science says this and science says that. You say, how could somebody get... Good people can get those mentalities.
That's right.
Saved people can, just as saved as me and you, can adopt those mentalities. You know what it's our job to do? Is to get the truth out. We fight with the truth. The truth is the Word of God. We don't get out here and force people on these things or nothing else. On our mentalities or what the Bible... We tell them what the Bible says and let the truth work on them. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is this. This sermon has relevance because lost people have a mindset that's sin sick and it's rubbing off on church people. Now, here's another guy. They often use religion as a cloak. This guy, while supporting Planned Parenthood. Now, what gets me is they call it Planned Parenthood, but it doesn't Planned Parenthood. That's a strange thing. They say, well, it's Planned Parenthood. Well, you're not planning to be a parent. Why do you call it Planned Parenthood? You see how they're deceptive? All right. It says, he said this, that we should be blessed to live here in such a state that supports these things. Blessed, huh? What, you see how that religion uses that cloak? Now, how this ties in is this. You say, where's all this headed? In Revelation 17:6, he said, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Why? It's a wonder. He wondered that something so beautiful could be so deadly. You know what? Religion oftentimes cloaks in something just so beautiful. Why? Because man, according to 1 Samuel 16:7, he looks on the outward appearance. You know what we need to be doing? Not outward, not my physical health and not all these things that are physical is the most important. The inward. What I'm trying to tell you is look inward, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. All the most important things come from things you can't see. All right. Now, the religious people, if I remind you too, they killed the Lord, had Jesus crucified. Now, here's something, we'll get into Mark 5 if I ever get here. According to standard biographies, the principal Nazi leaders were all born, baptized, and raised so-called Christians. Most grew up in strict, pious households. Nazi leaders of Catholic background included Adolf Hitler. He was a good Roman Catholic. Heinrich Himmler, you read about that man. Reinhard Heydrich and Joseph Goebbels. Hitler did well in monastery school. He sang in the choir, found high mass and other ceremonies intoxicating, and idolized priests. Impressed by their power, he at one time considered entering the priesthood. Religion. You know why I tell y'all, have a relationship. It's not religion, it's a relationship. People say, well, you got religion. I don't want religion. I don't want an outward form of godliness. I want the power thereof. this biography said the church supported the new dictatorship by endorsing the end of democracy and free speech. In addition, now why am I telling you this? Men who won't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. In addition, it bound its bishops to Hitler's Reich by means of a loyalty oath. In exchange, the church received enormous tax income and protection for church privileges. Religious instruction and prayer in school were reinstated. Criticism of the church was forbidden. Of course, nothing in the concordant protected the rights of non-Catholics. You see how that one world thing comes in and takes a hold and gets a hold of the mindset of people. Now, how do we look at all this? You say, man, that sounds like some bad stuff. When I read that stuff, I think, man, Lord, have mercy. And then I get in the Bible. And man, then the Bible starts to shed light on things and gives you the right perspective. Now, let me show you what happened in the past, what's going on now, and what's going to happen. I think it's a blessing. So I want to give you a right division picture here in Mark chapter 5. What you have here is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to start in verse number 22. It said, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus, by name. I didn't call him Jairus that time. Jairus, by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. That's a good thing to do. Now watch this. Verse number 23. I want you to see Israel, this picture here in the Bible, in this story, Israel at the point of death. And besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. They wanted a physical healing. When the Lord came, Israel, the nation of Israel, was at the point of death. They were almost dead. He was saying, hey, the king is here. Guess what? He come healing, showing. So Israel was at the point of death. But guess what happened? Something strange happened. The Lord Jesus, the Lord of glory, came to his own. His own received him not. So watch what goes on here. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Watch this. I want you to see,
amen,
not only Israel at the point of death, but Gentiles rescued from destruction. That's where we're at today. It's a picture of where we're at today in the church. Watch this. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood, 12 years. You got a picture of condemnation in verse number 25. She had an issue of blood. I want you to know something. I had an issue of blood. I was born with a blood problem, blood disease. All of us are born hooked on drugs. You know what it is? LSD, lust, sin, death. You know what? Only the Lord Jesus Christ is your cure. You know, here comes this woman. He's on his way to Israel. He's on his way to heal Jairus' daughter. Here he's on his way to Israel. She's at the point. Israel was almost dead. But guess what? He said, I'm going to drop off here on the way, and I'm going to help this woman out. You know what I think, God? Man, I think God, the Lord Jesus Christ, saw fit to drop off and help us. We had no covenants, no promises. We are strangers from the commonwealth of Israel. And guess what he does? He says, she's got an issue. We had some issues. Without Jesus Christ, people got issues. All of you talking about issues. My mental issues, spiritual issues, physical issues. We had all the issues. She had an issue of blood a long time. 12 years. The whole time Israel, that little girl had been, she was 12 years old, you'll find out later on. Well, the whole time Israel's in a mess, Gentiles in a mess too, they just didn't know it until they met Jesus. They said, hey, there's somebody can help me out. Man, ain't that a blessing? What you have is, here's a picture of condemnation, but I want you to know verse number 26, there's some things physicians, earthly physicians, can't cure. And had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse. You can spend all the money you want to on these physical bodies. You can do all you want to try to cure yourself, get somebody else to help you. But until you come to the Lord Jesus, you won't get the help you need. But my friend, you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll get that cure. And once you get that cure, you won't ever need another one. Man, I tell you what, once the Lord Jesus Christ covered me with His blood, I won't never need another covering. That robe of righteousness will never grow old. It'll never get to the point where it's so tattered I can't put it on anymore. It's just every day I wake up, it's just as fresh as it was yesterday. Wow. That same God that could make the children of Israel with their shoes didn't get old can give me an everlasting robe of righteousness. Man, ain't that a blessing right there? Look, I want you to see also she came the best way she could. Verse number 26. She's a Gentile. Watch this. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Now, you know what you can do? You can get in your Bible and get your concordance out all day long, and you won't find in your Bible where she's supposed to come and touch his garment. That's not in the Bible. But guess what? She's a Gentile. She come the best way she could. You know what's not in the Bible? coming down the altar. You know what's not in the Bible is saying a particular prayer. That's not in the Bible. You know what's not in the Bible is grabbing a man's hand and doing, that's not on the Bible. But I tell you what, because we're Gentiles and God knows, hey, they don't know better. You know what you do? As long, let's say somebody did come down. Well, that's not in the Bible, but guess what? If they came down here or they walked outside or got in their car or wherever and said, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I trust what you did for me on the cross. And the best way I know how, Lord, I'm trusting you. Save me, Lord Jesus. Guess what he do? He saved me. Just like he helped that lady. She didn't know no better. Look. She said, look, my life is hanging by a thread, but as long as it says the hem of his garment, buddy, she's all right. Yeah. Man, I tell you what, that's a thread right there. It won't never break. Yeah. Why? Because, brother, everything in the Lord Jesus Christ is strong. The hem of his garment is stronger than my best day of strength. Thank God for that. Man, she just come and she said, if I could just touch him.
Right, brother.
If I could just touch him. I just want you to know there's a lot of things that we practice as Gentiles. And I got a whole list of them I can't even go over. Some people cry, some people don't. I led a guy to the Lord out in the parking lot one time. And that guy didn't say a word. I said, were you saved? He said, yeah. Because a couple weeks, maybe a month or so back, one guy got saved. He was in there in an interview with my brother. He was in there. He was using some bad language. I said, hey, fella, you saved? Which I probably shouldn't have done it like it. He said, no, but I need to be. My brother got up and said, all right, deal with it. I sat down and showed him the gospel and Bible, and the man got up and left. Just left the whole place. Well, guess what? I thought, oh, man, well, that guy just, he come back later on and said, hey, man, I had to go tell my little girl I trusted Jesus. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is some people, they may trust Jesus Christ, and some of them may laugh, some of them may cry, some people just as calm as a cucumber, but as long as they trust Him, it's not how they act after they trust Him, it's the trusting that saves them.
That's right.
Wow, we're Gentiles, we come to the Lord, and guess what? You come, if you, at the end of whatever you do, if you drop down on your knees, some people stand up, some people may stand up on the pew and say, God, I need, but at the end of that, as long as you place your faith and trust in Jesus, that's what He'll honor. He honors the gospel. Now, not only it's a picture of condemnation, but she got saved from corruption. Jump down here to verse number 34. After all these things, man, I'll tell you something. You're talking about a wonderful story right here. Verse 34, and he said unto her, daughter. She's family now.
Amen.
Isn't that a blessing right there? Now she's family. Now, look, she got saved from corruption. Look, the best thing to be delivered from is death, hell, and the grave. You got a world nowadays, it's health and the government and everything else. Let me tell you something. The best thing that you can have in your life is salvation. If you got salvation from hell, you've got the best thing you can have. Everything else just icing on the cake. If I've got a day of health, that's great. But look, I might be feeling good today and tomorrow I may not feel so good. I might be feeling good today and man, tomorrow, who knows what can happen. What I'm telling you is this. Make sure that you're focusing on the inward.
Amen.
Than the outward.
Amen.
I tell myself that all the time. Why? Because it's so easy to get in this mentality where as long as we got the outward things taken care of, our bills are taken care of, we got a good house to sleep in, we got a good car, we got gas, all that thing, that's wonderful if you've got that. But don't let that be your main thing. Because if you lose all that and you still got the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got the main thing. That's what I'm trying to show you. She got saved from corruption. Not only do you see Israel at the point of death, and then you see this picture here of Israel's future deliverance here. Verse number 41, the Bible said, after all these things, guess what happened? He helps that lady there, and she goes in peace in verse number 34, and she was whole of that plague. But you know what he does? He goes right back. After dealing with her, and she goes in peace. You know what? I'm going to go out of here in peace one of these days. Why? Because Jesus Christ is my peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And when I'm with Him, I'm going to have peace forevermore. Guess what? She's just out of the picture. You know what's going to happen with the church? One of these days, just as mysterious as she was there, well, she's going to be gone. One of these days, they're going to say, where did they go to? They're gone. Gone in peace. What? I'm in Jesus Christ. He's the Prince of Peace. I'm in Him. I'm gone in peace. And guess what He's going to do? He's going to go right back to dealing with this daughter. But watch this. Look at verse 35. While He yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" You know what? When the Lord comes back, Israel's going to be at the place where Israel is dead. This world is headed for death. So why, this world's not our home. Why do we get so worked up about things that's going on in the world? What gets me is how people get so worked up about worldly things when we don't get worked up about the spiritual things. If spiritual things don't interrupt your mind like the worldly things do, we're out of balance. So we have to realize here, the picture is this. He was going to Israel. They rejected Him. Then He went to help us, that woman. And He's going back to dealing with Israel one of these days. That's His program. You say, what's going on? One of these days, we're going to be out of here. Gone, in peace. So what's your future? Peace. Now, here's the third thing. This is what we got to watch out for. Church age prediction. And time is, we're in a time warp right now. So I'm 2 Timothy chapter 3. I know, see, when I'm up here, time passes real slow. Whenever y'all down there, I mean, it's just, our past is fast for me, slow for y'all. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, this is prophecy concerning the church. He says in verse 1, man, this know also, that in the last days of the church, perilous times shall come. Now I got my Webster's Dictionary out, and you know what I did? I looked up a word. People say, well, in the Greek, so-and-so, I don't read Greek and I don't know Hebrew. I've told y'all before, I know a little Hebrew. He owns a clothing store in a little Greek. He works at a gas station. But you know what? I know some English. And I can get my dictionary out. You like that, dude. I got my dictionary out and I looked up perilous. Now, you know what my dictionary says perilous means? Dangerous, hazardous, full of risk. So, this know also that in the last days, dangerous, hazardous, and times that are full of risk come. Hazardous time. Acts 15:26 talks about men, this is the exact quote, that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hazarded life. You know what that tells me? In the last days, perilous times are going to come. Dangerous times are going to come. Hazardous, and people are going to be, guess what? Lovers of their own selves. They're going to say, that's just too risky. Just too much to risk for the Lord. You know what? You can't get too risky, brother. I'm going to tell you something. Give everything you've got for the Lord. Go out of this thing. Now, if you read into, man, hate saying if I ain't coming to church. I did not say that. I know that there are people, and I know at this time I have to clarify and be real careful because of what's going on. What I'm trying to tell you is this. Are you taking any risk at all for the Lord? Why? Because it's just going to get more and more risky. It's going to get more and more hazardous. You're going to live in more and more of a dangerous world. Why? Because the further people get away from the Lord, the more dangerous things get. The more hazardous things get. The more risky things get. So guess what we need? We need a nation of men, women, and children who will serve the Lord no matter how dangerous it gets. Why? These people right here hazarded their lives. Now, I read this thing about this church historian, Mr. Hutchison, talks about Epaphroditus over there in Philippians. Said he had risked his life as the gambler does his stake. He had played it. He had played with it as in a game of chance. The same word in the latter days, and possibly with a direct reference to this passage, has given a name to an inferior, and though sometimes a disorderly, yet a self-forgetful class of church officers who from Constantine's time onward were set apart as attendants on the sick and dying. That, look, some people are out there in the medical profession. Somebody's out there risking their life.
That's right.
Christian. We need Christians in all walks of everywhere, on the front line, in every job, trying to say, hey, I'm out here risking it for you, Lord. You know, he goes on to say, they were men who hazarded their lives in times of plague and contagion, contagious sickness, who exposed themselves to the risk of death in conflict with wild beasts of the amphitheater. It was in some such way as that this Epaphroditus staked his life in faithfully representing the Philippian church and carrying out the mission which with which he had been entrusted. Y'all, that's a man here who risked his life. You know what? You're going to risk some friendships sometimes. You're going to risk some things in your walk with the Lord that are going to be dangerous and hazardous. And I'm telling you, the Bible says that, but guess what? It's all worth it in the Lord. I'm just telling you, this mentality of having a form of godliness but denying the power of God to be able to protect you is missing. I read another thing here that was talking about healthiness, and I know I'm running out of time, but you know what? He talks about how over in the Bible, you know, you got this Jonah makes this, he got this gourd that's protecting him. He said, that sounds really good and it's wonderful. He said, but it's got a worm in it. You know what? It's wonderful to have blessings in this life. Man, I've got a good vehicle. I've got a wonderful family. We've got a good church to meet in, things like that. But guess what? Everything here has got something in it. It's got a worm of corruption in it because it's of this world. But if you've got your treasure in heaven, in the Lord, His heavenly kingdom will not corrupt. This Bible will not corrupt. The new body we're going to get is not a corruptible body. That's why I'm telling you to invest in spiritual things. Why? To keep your mind healthy more than your body. It's good to have a healthy body. But mentally speaking, if you've got a healthy body and you don't have a healthy mind, you'll take your healthy body and use it for the devil. Well, I'm telling you, the best thing to do is have a healthy mind so you can take what blessings you do have and use them for the Lord and get something done with it. I read about this guy. He said this in talking about his soldiers and all these things. And he was a brave soldier. And he was one of these American regiments. And they were out here in battle. And evidently the battle got real, real hot. And this guy is out here just shooting his gun. And evidently to everybody else looked crazy. And one of his comrades says, "Hey man, hide behind a tree." You know what he said? "There's not enough for everybody else." He says, "Somebody's got to fight." You know what? Somebody has got to fight. Right. The Bible said fight the good fight of faith. The Bible says endure hardness as a good soldier. Somebody got to do the fighting.
That's right.
You know what you're doing? You know what I like about y'all? Y'all are fighting. I know you're going home and you're going through the daily things. It's hard to do. It's hard to get up again in the morning when them covers seem to be holding you back and go another day. It's hard to keep getting up when you don't feel like it. But guess what? You know who you're doing it for? It changes perspective when you realize, I'm doing this for the Lord because I love the Lord. I know people are watching me and they're seeing how I'm going through what all I'm going through. And I'm being a testimony for the Lord. And guess what? That makes it all worth it.
That's right.
That makes it all worth it. I thought about this whenever in Matthew 9 verse 2, when the Lord healed that guy and he said, "Be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." He didn't say, "Be of good cheer, thy health is given thee." The main thing was not his health. The main thing was that he had his sins forgiven him. Even when the Lord healed him, he said, "Hey, it's a good thing that you got health, but praise God, you got your sins forgiven you." Now you think about this. If somebody was about to be hanged, let's say they brought back hanging, they won't do it, but let's say they did. And you walk by somebody and you hand them a good smelling posy and you said, "Hey, be a good cheer, smell on that." Do you think that would make them happy? No. But if you come up with a governor's pardon and you said, "Hey, I got a pardon." And you hand them that pardon and they knew they weren't going to die. Guess what? That would give them good cheer. You know what? You know why I got good cheer in my heart this morning? You know why you got good cheer in your heart this morning? You got a pardon. You know what makes a difference?
Amen.
Is that pardoned in Christ. My sins are washed away, washed in the blood. I've got a pardon. I know where I'm going. And I can say, guess what? Follow me. I know where I'm going. If I didn't know where I was going, I wouldn't tell you, follow me. You know why Paul said, "Hey, follow me"? He said, because I'm always confident, knowing. He said, absent with the body, present with the Lord, follow me. I'm leading somebody to the Lord. You know what we want to do? Follow me. I'll lead you to the Lord. Now, here's the thing about this church age prediction. It's low risk. Low risk. A friend of mine told me a story about his boat, and I've kind of got it off a little bit, so I'm not going to tell that story today. I'll save it for another time. I have to get it just right. He's a good friend of mine. I don't want to get the story wrong. But he was talking about being invested in things. You know what we're supposed to do? Invest in spiritual things. Now, this is why. You say, "Well, how come people are getting to the place where they don't care, and they get into the place where they don't care whether they serve God, read the Bible, pray. They don't care whether even the church goes forward. Some of them are just completely quitting altogether. Why? What's going on?" If you ever been around somebody that owns a company, you know what they do? They make sure that they'll go in there and they say, "Why are y'all wasting this soap? Hey, this soap thing's leaking right here. Oh, but let's fix this thing here. What, the paper towel? Y'all wasting the paper towels around here. You're wasting my chemicals around here. What's going on? Guess what? That man cares because he's invested.
Right.
He's got an investment in that company. You know why a lot of folks care? You know why you care this morning? I know some of you've invested in stuff on the other side. You know your treasure's not here. You're putting up things on the other side over there, and you're invested, and you want to see it go. Why? You know it matters to the next generation coming up. You have invested in heavenly thing, and it matters to you. And you say, well, what's the answer to it? A lot of people just have a form. They got the outward form. You get inside the building, nothing there. They don't have no investment. When you're invested, you care about how things go. When you're invested, you care about it, whether this church goes or not. When you're invested, you care about whether that Bible's read or not. Why? You know you've got something on the other side. You're invested. Low risk. Low risk. Here's the last thing. Lack of repentance. Backing up in 2 Timothy. And we're in a time warp. I'm almost done. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, before he got to those last days, how did he get there? How did it get so bad? In verse 25, he said, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. They're against themselves. Christ is not against you. Look, you're against you. You're your own worst enemy. It said, if God, preadventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. No acknowledging of the truth. See, they deny the power of God. And guess what? No repentance. You wonder why people don't stop doing what they're doing? You're not going to stop unless you acknowledge the truth. So guess what happens? It says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. You know what happens? If you don't accept the truth, instead of being in the will of God, because God's will is in the truth of his word, you get in the devil's will. But you ever thought about that? Man, I tell you what, I hope I'm doing the will of the devil. Wouldn't nobody say that, would they? But you know what? Anytime we get to the place where we don't care about what that Bible says, we get to the place where we're having the devil's will. And buddy, if you in the devil's will, bad thing's going to happen. What's going to happen? The bolts will come unloose up here.
That's right.
It can happen to anybody. You know what I like to see for all of you? I want to see you have a power and of love and of a sound mind. So here's the last thing in closing. You got a Bible prescription in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 to tell you what to do. Now, here's what I don't want. There's Christians that think as long as we just keep up the appearance without any inside work, everything's okay. We're just keeping up appearances. That's dangerous.
Right.
So you say, how do I keep from doing that? Here's a Bible prescription. You got to keep a biblical order. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul says this, in the very God of peace. Now, what were we talking about peace a while ago? She left in peace. We're going to leave in peace. It says, sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit first, and soul second, and body third. The body's place left. Be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the context of looking for the coming of the Lord, we're looking for Him. Guess what He says? Keep a biblical order. Keep the spirit first.
Amen.
Keep the spirit first. You know what you have to do? Kind of like your body. If you just stop, look, that's one reason why I like to exercise. I'm talking about hell. I like to. Why? I don't want my body to atrophy. You got spiritual muscle works is the same way. It don't take very long, and you stop praying and you stop reading. You just get to the place where it's hard to do it anymore. Why? The Bible said, exercise thyself unto godliness. Godliness is an exercise.
Right.
I was talking to the guy the other day, and he and I had a real good conversation. He said he was 71 and working for fun. And I said, man, you're 71 years old and you're doing it. He was talking about all this stuff. He was doing all this hard work. He said, man, it scares me to death just to sit around and not do anything. He said, I don't want to get to the place to where I can't go anymore. He said, I'd rather just work some and keep my body going. I thought to myself, woo-wee. That's convicting. Why? Spiritually speaking, you know what we got to keep doing? Keep fighting a good fight. Get up in the morning. I know it's been hard. Yesterday was hard. Guess what? We're going to get one day at a time. Get up and fight again. Yeah, but you know what that does? Keep you spiritually strong. Spiritually strong. And guess what else too? Not only keep biblical order, but stay old-fashioned. Verse number 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Said he will do it. Didn't say he might do it.
That's right.
Said he will do it. He called you, and you know what he's going to do? That same God that called you, he's faithful. You know what you got to do? God didn't never tell you. He didn't never tell you. He never told you to be successful. He told you to be faithful.
That's right.
Stay old-fashioned. Just get old-fashioned faithfulness. Just good old-fashioned getting up again and getting in the fight again. I'm going to get up and roll with the punches tomorrow. I did it again. Got my nose busted yesterday. Guess what? I'm going to clean up and I'm going to get right back up again. And I'm going to fight sin again tomorrow. Well, some days I have bad days. Some days, well, I said a cuss word yesterday, man. Well, we all mess up.
That's right.
That don't mean you lost. Just mean you had a bad day. I got one friend. I told you about the one guy. He said, "Man, I ain't close to the Lord." He said, "I say I let some slip every now and then." I said, "Look, I told him this right here." I said, "Look, sometimes I don't say them. Sometimes I just think them." Well, God knows what I thought.
That's right.
We can stand up here and act holy all you want to. God knows what you thought. You know what the best thing to do is say, "Lord, forgive me." Let's keep going. Thank God he don't cast me to the side just because I messed up yesterday. You know what he said? Faithful is he that called you. He also will do it.
Yes,
that same God is going to get you to heaven. Why? Because I'm going on his faith.
Amen.
Not on my faith. If I was going on my faith, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm going to heaven because I'm going on his merits and not on my own. Thank God for that. Here's the last thing. How's your spiritual health? If Dr. Jesus were to give you a test and you went in for him and got you one of these checkups, what would he say? Would he said, "Hey, you know what? Let's check on this one area right here. I think the prescription is going to be getting up in the morning and just spending a little time with me in prayer. I think the prescription is probably going to be just get you a little study going. Get you a study of a chapter. Let's just say, man, you like Philippians 4? Let's just get a study here and let's just study that chapter together." There's your prescription. Dr. Jesus can do it.
Amen.
You know who our hope is? The Lord Jesus Christ, as always.
Yes.
My job is to point you to Him. He's faithful and He will do it.
Yes, He will.
Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to tell you, Lord, we love you.